بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعليه وصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Wait, first off, this guy's salam has never changed in the past 2 years, bro. It's shit, bro. I can't lie to you. But anyway,
it's consistent.
We need to apologize because, you know, we've been lacking. This is like two times in the last month we've missed a week. It's not good.
because somebody wants to travel.
Circumstance.
Not for real, bro. He had to travel as soon as we came back from Chicago, subhanAllah.
Bro went from flight to flight. Bro had a connection.
Alhamdulillah, in this podcast, inshallah, we're going to be filling it with reminders, but we kind of like want to share our experience with you from our time in Chicago. It was our second time going, subhanAllah. And this time around.
Second time going or second time to Mass Sigma?
Second time going to, oh yeah, well, obviously to the convention. yeah. But we want to share our experience, you know, what was different, you know, some reflections, things that we noticed from ourselves and from, you know, the youth around there. And the first thing I want to start with is like, this year, you know, there was a lot more love for us that was, you know, awaiting, you know, people who saw us last year and wanted to show us a lot of love, people who had booths and whatnot. And, you know, they, I don't know. It just purely felt like a blessing up from Allah that they crossed our path last year. And then even this year, like the new people that we saw this year and the love that they showed us, it felt like pure, you know, for the sake of Allah. It was like Sakina in it, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and of course, you know, not even just that. Just the fact that, you know, it was just night and day, you know, walking in there. I don't know. Some of you guys, you might experience this on a daily basis, but I know, especially me, I don't, because, you know, in my city, there's not too many Muslims. But just the fact that there's just so many Muslims just gathered together in one place. I can go anywhere. And the first greeting is, salam alaikum. Oh, it's not, hey, how you doing? No, salam alaikum. You know, instead of thank you, it's jazakallah khair. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different. You know what I mean? Like, you really get to, you know, just be around the Muslims. You know, subhanAllah, like, it's just a feeling that you can't explain. It's like, you know, when we visit a Muslim country and everyone around you is Muslim, like, you know, there's just, you don't have to worry about anything. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, alhamdulillah, the love was amazing. And it really gives us a new appreciation for what we do. Because what people tell us things like that, you would never, like, I would have never imagined hearing this when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. When we were 12, like, when we were young, I would never imagine hearing people say, yo, the work you do, it really helps me. I love you guys. I love you guys for the sake of Allah. May Allah bless you. When you got people actively making dua for you in front of my face, and I'm sitting there, I'm
yeah,
smiling.
Exactly. You don't even know what to say.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like you said, whenever you greet someone, you say, assalamu alaikum. Like, a people, hold on, you got to really understand the magnitude of this statement. You're saying peace be upon you. Peace, 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 salam, salam. Like, this is a person making dua for you. And it's just like, man, it's a different ballgame. And, you know, you have a different appreciation for it. But one thing I want to bring up, man, we heard a khutbah, right? At the convention. And me and Usman and Hussein, we were talking about this. They mentioned the ayah. We were talking about this ayah, like the rest of the ikna. You know what ayah I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It was, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taqulu ma la taf'alun. Oh, you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? And the reason they brought up this ayah was because it was one of the traits of the hypocrites. The hypocrites, they will say something and they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And Usman, from before we even got onto the plane, he was saying, we have to do this, we have to do this, and we have to do this. These are our goals, 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 goals. You know, we're like, we want to go after this. We want to do it. And he also brought up the fact, before we even heard the ayah, he said that we always say we're going to do something and then we never end up doing it.
Exactly. It's just something that, you know, we got to let go of. Because when you make a commitment to go ahead and do something, you better go ahead and do your best to execute that. How many empty promises do we give people? You're giving this false promise, this false promise, this false promise. And then guess what happens? They end up catching up to you. When has lying ever benefited you? Like honestly speaking, like, I remember, like, you know, from a younger age, you know, like pre-teenage years, and then after, like, when I started to really mature and just, like, cutting out lying completely just changed my life. All of a sudden, it's more peaceful. You don't have things catching up to you. You're straight up. People respect you. You know, you got an opinion. You're going to say something. You're not afraid. Because what happens when you lie? When you lie to somebody, what's that indication of? You're afraid of something. Mm-hmm. You're afraid of what they might say. You're afraid of what they're going to do to you. But, you know, you take all of that out and you go ahead, you make a strong commitment to something, you're just going to be overall better. You're going to execute your goals. You're going to do the things that you want to do.
And it's even the false promises we feed ourselves. You know, we tell ourselves, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this. We're going to get these goals done. But like, and I'm bringing this up now because it's the new year. And I see all these people talking about, oh, this is what I want to accomplish in the new year. Why does a new year have to come for you to say that, oh, I'm going to change this now. You know, exactly. I'm going to do this now. But then you don't end up following through with it. So then a whole year goes by and you haven't done anything.
Because here's the thing, though. You know, when it comes to that, and I like that you brought up that. Lying to yourself is one of the worst people to lie to, because you know, you sit here, you feed yourself lies all the time, right? And then that's all you immolate. Lies. You feed yourself lies, and then all of a sudden you're telling everybody else lies, right? So, you know, you lie to yourself on a day-to-day basis. You know, you're already creating the worst habit for yourself, right? And on top of that, right, the new year, new me, people. You know, I understand, you know, it's 2025 now, but you know, this is, first of all, it's not even the Islamic calendar, right? Like, if I was to ask most of you guys, what's the first month of the Islamic year? You know, if you don't know that, then we already got a problem. You know what I mean?
By the way.
So, the next thing is yeah, a lot of people, oh, I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on my prayers and this and this and this and that. You know, making yourself all these promises and then you never go ahead and do it. You know, why is it that you start something for a few days and then after a few days, you know, you just lose the motivation and you just forget about it. And then you make the goal again and then you forget about it and then you just never end up doing it. You really got to commit. If you're serious about something, you're going to go ahead and find a way to do it no matter what. If you really want it that bad. But if you don't want it that bad, you know, you're just going to go ahead and keep on delaying it. Oh, when Ramadan comes, I'll start fasting. When Ramadan comes, I'll start praying. When this month comes, when the new year comes, you don't even know if you're going to make it. How many people died on the 31st? How many people died on New Year's Eve? You know, we heard about what happened. And that's just, you know, things that we know about. Imagine all the people we don't know about.
SubhanAllah, like, even I, you know, I said some things I wanted to accomplish, but it wasn't necessarily about like, oh, what's the new year? It was things I had already put in motion. But I want to build more structure towards, and this is something I wish we would have done had like in Chicago during the convention, is asking people, you know, what are their ambitions? You know, what are your dreams? What are you looking to get out of life? Right? Mm-hmm. Because I really want to know where, because everybody lives their own life. We might all be Muslim, but we're all living a different life. We're all living, you know, with different dreams and aspirations and ambitions and how we're going to make it to Jannah. We all have a different plan for what Jannah looks like for us. Right? At the end of the day, Jannah is Jannah. But we all have a different idea of what that is, because it has what no eye has ever seen, no heart has ever felt, no ear has ever heard. So we all have a different imagination of what Jannah like is like. You see all the people online who dream about Jannah, talking about, oh, I'm going to have anime in this. I'm going to play Fortnite in this. And whether it's a joke or not, people have their own, you know, ideologies when it comes to Jannah. But it's because you can have whatever you want. And the heart desires what it desires. So you're going to want what you want. But it's like, what in life do you want that is going to help you get there? And how often do you tell yourself, this is what I'm going to go after, and this is how I'm going to do it. I have this step, and I have this step, and I have this step. Not that this is the end goal, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there. I don't even know how to start. You know what I mean? So many people come to me talking about, oh, how do I do this? How do I do this? And I'm like, look, if the revelation of the Quran and the perfection of Islam is not a sign for you, then I don't know what is. Right? I tell people all the time, 23 years is not for no reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making the earth in a certain amount of days, whether it's days or periods of time or however, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the most knowing about it. These things are for a purpose. Allah could have made the earth like this, right? Allah is capable of anything. Mm-hmm. He could have revealed all of Islam to the Prophet in one day, in 1 hour, in 1 minute, if he wanted to. He could have put that all in his heart if he wanted to. But he gave him time. He gave him time so he can give the people time so he can go and he can deliver the message in a way that, okay, you believe in this now? Okay, I have to come with you. I have to come with this message now. Look, you believe Allah is one? Okay, we have to pray now. You know what I mean? Oh, you guys come to the prayer drunk? Okay, wait, like, we shouldn't come to the prayer drunk. Okay, now alcohol is no longer permissible at all, right? All yeah, these things.
It's a process.
It's a whole process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And this is something people think of when they think of life, is that, mm-hmm. oh, I have to get this done right now. If I'm not in that position in 1 month, I failed and I'm never going to go about it again.
Exactly. And I'm going to tie that back to what I was saying earlier. Like, you know, just as a small disclaimer, that doesn't mean, you know, you shouldn't set a goal date for what you're trying to do. You know, of course, you know, set a date, you know, that's a good thing to set a deadline. But the problem is when we keep delaying things, all right, I'm going to start on January 1st. January 1st comes. You know what? I can wait till the 5th. And then the 5th comes, let's wait till the 8th. And then the 8th comes, so let's wait till next month. You know, it's already too late into the month. Not like, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it just really gets to a point. You know what I mean? Like, how many false promises are you really going to feed yourself?
You know, it brings me back to some people I've seen who, you know, when they set their morning alarm, they set it on a 5 or a 0. So if they set their alarm for 8:15, but it's 8:15 and then they're like, okay, I'm going to wait 5 more minutes. I'll wake up at 8:20. But then they see their alarm and then they see it's 8:21. They're like, oh, okay, I'll sleep till 8:25. And then they just keep it going.
You know what? You know what's so crazy? I used to do this. And this is like...
I did this today.
No, it's miserable, bro. I'm trying to tell you, bro, because, bro, like, man, it's just crazy, man. Like, it's crazy.
Look, you want to know something? What you guys are describing, especially amongst people, is a lack of patience. And I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, that it's easy. To have true patience, like, bro, Nuh alayhi salam, he called his people for how many years?
950 years.
Exactly. It's a lack of patience. Not only that, patience, it doesn't just have to do with time. It has to be upon what you're struggling with. It happens to do upon tiredness, upon hunger, upon thirst. Like, you got to be patient upon these things to get what you really want. And perhaps, you know what I find as a cure for this is that whatever it is that you want it badly. Mm-hmm. Want it as bad as you can get, as bad as you want to breathe. Want it as, because then when you want it that bad, you're not going to feel all the other things. You're not going to care. Like, you don't care if it's, I don't care. Like, it really wouldn't matter. When you want it as bad as that, you're not going to care about embarrassment. You're not going to care about what other people mm-hmm. think. When I see people that want to achieve something and they care about what other people think, or they care about this, that, the third, it's like, you just don't want it badly enough. Because this is mine.
Exactly.
Like, this is mine.
First of all, you want it bad enough. And then you talked about how you made a commitment, a big commitment, and a month goes by, you don't do it. Now, all of a sudden, you feel like a failure. Hold on, you got to slow down a minute. You know what I mean? Like, if you just brought up the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Quran, it was a whole process. You set a big goal, set some small goals to achieve that big goal. You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing doesn't have to be done, you know, right this second. You know what I mean? You got to really break things down. You really want it badly, you're going to figure out how you're going to do it. And this is part of figuring out. You know, you're finding the facts, and then you're going to qualify yourself to go ahead and move on to the next step. So, you know, the example of the Quran, we use this before. It's 600 pages. Who's reading a 600 page book in one day? Realistically, you know, not many people, if not like nobody. Right. But, you know, if we break it down, all right, I have 5 daily prayers. Let me read, you know, 2 to 5 pages after every prayer. And then all of a sudden, after a month, you got it all complete. You know what I mean? Like, subhanAllah, you broke it down. You had such a big goal. And then the time goes by and then you made so much progress. You're going to look back and be like, wow, subhanAllah, I came so far. You know what I mean?
I want you to think about how much falsehood has corrupted the earth since the time of Adam alayhi salam to now, and how that iman found you, right? How Islam found you in the midst of all this fitna, you know, in the midst of us living in this day and age of where people, you know, they call to other than Allah. People don't even believe in Allah. You have people who, you know, call these false ideologies that can corrupt the minds of the people. And then you have even like filth, you know, things that we're meant to lower our gaze from, that is right in front of your screen at all times. But iman still found its way into your heart, subhanAllah, right? And that is not the process of ourselves. That is the process of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding you and choosing you upon the truth and asking to be placed upon the truth and making those du'as, you know, saying that ihdina sirat al-mustaqim is what is going to keep you upon that path, and knowing that that is what is keeping you on the path and nothing else, not yourself, no one else besides the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Like, you want to know something I think about often? How many times do we sit there and we think about the blessings that we have? And when I say blessings that we have, I don't mean just, you know, food, drink, you know, air, like to be able to see, hearing. I mean, like, your iman, like your faith. How many times do you think, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah. Like, I get to be a part of something, like, you know, bigger than myself, greater than myself. And I get to read a book. Like, if you can read Arabic, I get to read a book where I can, you know, get closer to Allah and know my creator and things like that. How many times do we think, like, that's something I try to do every single day now. In the beginning of my day, I try to count, even though you can never count your blessings, I try to count my blessings, and just so that I out of thankfulness for Allah.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when you're thankful?
Yeah. For those who don't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are thankful to him, he will surely increase you.
Mm-hmm. And that should already, like, be motivation itself. Exactly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
and there's wisdom behind that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just never ending. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always thankful. You're always going to go up. You're never going to go down.
And think about, and I also like to think of, you know, try to enjoy the good and the bad. And this is something, like, I really admire from Usman. Whenever he gets it, whenever, like, a couple weeks ago, his tire blew out on the road, and he's calling me and he's laughing. You enjoy the good or the bad. You enjoy the, like, when life's going to be good, you enjoy. Life's going to be bad, you're going to enjoy. Because, see, the problem with the people nowadays is they love Allah upon conditions. Only if things are going good in their life, they're going to love God. That's the only way they're gonna love God. Things go bad, you turn around, you turn to this, you turn to drugs, you turn to alcohol. You can't, all of a sudden you can't bear it no more. You can't find or muster the strength to, you know, to turn back to Allah and to ride it out. Like, you're just it's a harsh thing to say, but weak individual.
Bro, look, I mean, the thing is, when you're just sitting there mad or upset about something for such a long period of time, it's only going to decrease you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you sit there and, you know, you're just feeling down all the time. Like, you know, you're not going to go anywhere with that. Versus, you know, when you look at it through the positive lens, you know, you take something from it. I know we all heard the corny saying, it's either a blessing or a lesson. But you know what I mean? Like, but it's true. You know, there's something to take, whether it be good or bad. You know, there's something that, you know, you could take and learn from it. You know, use that to your advantage. Why not use it to your advantage? Why let it get the best of you instead of you making the best of it?
Well, something I always say when it comes to hardship or, you know, a test that befalls us is, you know, look to Allah throughout this hardship or through this calamity, because if you don't, it'll turn into a punishment and you'll never know the difference. You won't know, oh, Allah's just testing me, if you don't look to Allah. But because Allah has taken away your ability to look to Him in this hardship because you turned to other than Him, you know, something, you started questioning Him or something of that nature. Because where does your, you know, your yaqeen go? Where does your tawakkul go when you turn to questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That would be an aspect of shaitan. Allah would never tell you to question Him, because Allah prescribed, you know, something in the Quran. And, you know, I see it today with people who are ignorant in certain situations. As I do my best to assume the like better of them, because even I'm guilty of this sometimes. But it's ati Allah wa ati Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. If there's something that you have a question about, go learn about it. But never question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never question, why is this, why is that? In terms of, if the evidence is clear. If the evidence is clear and you're a believer, then you're not, there's no reason for you to question it. Like, I posted a video the other day and I told you guys, men and women shouldn't be friends. We should all know this. Right? There was a Christian in there who was talking about, oh, I hug and I shake the hands of my female friends, but I have no, you know, desire towards them. I was like, look. And he was like, you Muslims, something about we can't have no self-control. I was like, but look, it's self-control not to touch them though, is it not?
Exactly.
And then I was just like, the reality is it corrupts our heart. Because if you have a spouse, what's the reason for having a female friend? Like, why do you not look to your spouse? There's no reason for us to go beyond those boundaries and place these things on ourselves to say, oh, I have no desire to them. Do you know better than Allah? Truly, do you know better than Allah? Like, Allah would not have prescribed something on you if it was not better for you. And Allah even tells you there are certain things, okay, there's benefit in it, but the harm outweighs
exactly,
the good.
The harm outweighs the good, always. You know what I mean? And when we speak on this, it's in general. We're not saying every single person can't, you know, man and woman can't be friends. But in general, they can't be. You know, and you can't tell me otherwise.
And people also, I just want to make this a point. They misconstrue the meaning of friend. A friend is someone that you talk to every day. Whenever you're in need, you can call them. Whenever you hang out on a regular basis. Like, at that, like, that's...
You look to this person for advice.
For advice,
you
know, exactly. I mean?
No, yeah. Like, let's clear it up. Like, a platonic relationship is not something that was uncommon, right?
Yeah.
Being able to have a conversation was not something uncommon. Obviously, between the man and the woman, it's
or
very
like
important
between
to
business. And
yeah,
things
to
like
lower
that.
Your obviously for the men to lower his gaze,
make sure it's dignified
for the woman not to beautify her voice. You know, these types of conditions when it comes to even interacting with the opposite gender. But a friend is obviously someone, you know, you could text them on a normal basis, and you know, you get advice from them. You talk to them about like your relationships, your family, things of this nature. That there's no reason for you to be doing that. That's the true reality of it. Because like, if you're looking for a spouse or if you have a spouse, go to your spouse. Know what I mean? None of your private interactions should be public with anybody else, like, besides the people who are that are involved in your certain situation.
Like, people will see these videos about men and women being friends and they'll get angry, like, oh no, I have women friends. Like, to be honest, they're probably not even your friends, like, by like the true definition of a friend, where you speak to them every day and you're hanging out with them every day, or and you're like, you're conversating, they know your family, you know their family, like, you guys are like that. That's a friend, like, to me. People like, they diminish the value of what a friend means.
There's been plenty of tests done by non-Muslims going up to men, going up to women. You know, they'll see them walking together. Oh, this guy's just your friend. Okay. Then he'll ask the man, and then, you know, would you ever get with her? And he'll say yes. And the woman's like, oh, yeah, we could be friends. And this is, you know, for the most part, we can't deny this. You know, we can all see this for ourselves. You know, there is definitely, you know, when a man and a woman are so-called friends, like, there's some level of a feeling behind that, you know, that they just won't expose. I mean, it's only a matter of time.
We know what the principle is when a man and woman are left by themselves. They're not by themselves except that shaitan is a third of them. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if you do have a female friend and this is someone, or if you have a male friend and you can hang out with them on your own, you're not alone. Which is why you can't be friends. It's because Shaitan will influence you all, and he's not weak. You guys act like the influence of Shaitan is weak. But he got his dua answered by Allah, meaning he has some authority to be able to influence you to do bad. But there are certain people that Allah has guided, he has chose upon the truth, that will turn away from that. Well, and they won't even go close to that.
I heard the guidance of Shaitan was weak. It's just that us as human beings were weak, and we fall into that.
Which makes him inadvertently strong.
So, but look, either way, we got to think about it like this. Non-Muslims even talking about this, let alone you as a Muslim, when Allah commanded you otherwise. All right, the non-Muslims will sit here and they'll talk about boy best friends and girl best friends and how it's such a big debate, right? But, you know, rightfully so, because Allah has commanded otherwise, except they just don't know where this guidance is coming from. They just know about it. You know what I mean? We as Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have the guidance. We know from the jump, all right, we shouldn't even be doing this. But them, they're sitting here arguing about it day and night. There is no arguing when it comes to Islam. You're going to argue with Allah? You're going to argue with the messenger?
And that's actually what I told someone, a Muslim who was telling me, oh, it depends on this, it depends on situation, intention, blah, blah, blah. I was like, look, is this going to be a suitable answer on the day of judgment when Allah asks you? Because me telling you this is nothing compared to Allah, you know, bringing this back to you and telling you, why did you have this friend? And I told you to stay away from this.
Bro, here's the thing, though. Everyone always has an excuse. It don't matter what it is. I can give you 1,000 reasons why I can't do something, but no one ever wants to give you a reason why they can do something. You know what I mean? Like, it's something very, very crazy to think about. You know, it don't matter what it is, whether it be the worst thing on earth, there is someone out there who will find 1,000 reasons why they can justify what they're doing. What are you going to tell that person? It's just going to be a never-ending battle. You have to come there with some sort of foundation saying, Allah, the Lord of the worlds, has commanded you against this. That's the only argument, because everything else, you know, you could sit there, you're going to go back and forth all day long. But we have a basis. Alhamdulillah, we have a basis. And yeah, this is going over a lot of people's heads. I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this and be like, what is this guy talking about? No, you have guidance from Allah. Allah has commanded you. You have it right in front of you. Take advantage of it.
And you see that, like, when you reflect on these types of things, then you see, okay, no, there's wisdom behind this. Like, I understand it now. Like, think about...
Or for most people, they have to learn the hard way.
Yeah, I mean...
May Allah grant us understand.
Now, he's talking about you have to learn the hard way. Like, think about people who go into haram relationships. They were probably people who thought you could be friends with the opposite gender.
Matter of fact,
that it wasn't that bad.
I literally saw a video the other day, and it was... I was scrolling on Instagram Reels, and this guy was arguing with his girlfriend, talking about, oh... Like, this my boy best friend, yada, yada, yada. He doesn't want to do anything to me. You know what he said? He said, call him right now and tell him, let him smash. And he'll be here, bro. And guess what? Bro said yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how things happen, bro. Why are you surprised? Why are you surprised?
And
you know just, what I mean? Like, it's crazy, bro.
It's just a principle of what you think about, like, what's better for you. And what would you want for, not just for yourself, but if you were to have a spouse, or if you would have, you know, children, would you want them to be in this situation? Would the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, approve of the situation you're in right now, had he been here, right? Or how will you answer to Allah for these types of things? And, like, that should be your biggest thing. How will I answer to Allah? How will I answer to Allah, right? What is my answer?
What are you going to do? Give him an excuse? This?
Exactly. Look, are you going to justify what you do, like, the way you do it in comment sections?
Bro, look, matter of fact, we got the perfect response to this. You know, it's a little bit on the harsh side, but this is something I learned from, you know, my very first job that I worked at, from one of my managers. He said, excuses are like assholes. Everyone has one and they're full of shit. Like, you know, excuse the language. But, you know, when you really just think about that, don't let that just go over your head. Like, it's true. You know what I mean? Like I said, everybody can give 1,000 reasons why, but, you know, they can't just obey, you know, a simple command.
And you're never really truly battle tested until you're put in a situation where everybody's telling you to do the haram thing, or they're saying, hey, it's normal. You know, it's not that bad. And then you still choose to be like, no, I don't do that. You know, and I'm not going to do that because, you know, it wouldn't feel right for me. And I, you know, in my religion, it's forbidden. Right. I had so many situations like that, whether it was in school or whether when it was at the job I had, because I was surrounded by purely non-Muslims. People who were low-key curious about, like, my practices, but not curious enough to, like, oh, I want to look into Islam. Like, I want to see what you guys, like, truly believe in and whatnot. They just used to be like, oh, do you not do zina because it's in your religion? Do you not have a girlfriend because it's in your religion? I'd be like, yeah, that's purely why.
You know what's interesting? Oh, especially when speaking about the friends topic, I don't even understand how people becoming friends with the opposite gender. It's already hard enough for me to find people I like with the same gender who align with the same things that I do, and you know, who got that same mentality that I do, and who work towards the same things that I do. It's already hard for me to find that.
Boys are less drama.
It's already, but it's like subhanAllah. It's like, bro, when you have a friend, what's the goal? Like, ultimately, we've all heard it. You become the five people you surround yourself with. It's like, man, you got these friends, like. You just like you surround yourself with anybody at this point. You can become friends with anybody.
That's just, you know, it's so crazy. I just thought about that. You said you're the average of the five friends you hang around. Just imagine you're a dude, you hang around five females. Are you really a gay?
look, but this good, it really brings me back to what we saw at the convention. You know, like, Allahumma barik, I saw a lot of people just hanging out with, you know, females hanging with females, males hanging with males. And it was like so much love that was being spread around. And like, subhanAllah, during my time there, I didn't feel like one ill intent or one ill assumption at all. But I was just like, I was just here. I was like, damn, bro, all these people are Muslims. You know, they're trying
we kind of couldn't.
Wait, matter of fact.
To seek some benefit in some way.
Look, people talk about, you know, the mass ikhna and how there's a lot of fitna. You know, without a doubt, you know, definitely there's going to be fitna there. Like, you know, there was some music playing, you know, blah, 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 blah. But if you go in there looking for the haram, you're going to get the haram out of it. You know what I mean? But if you go in there looking for benefit, looking to increase yourself, looking to do better, looking to, you know, network and do things the right way, then that's what you're going to get out of it as well. And alhamdulillah, like, you know, we went there with the right intentions, trying to get the right things out of it. And alhamdulillah, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, we came out with a lot of friendships.
Then you got other people on the other hand. Oh, nah, it's so much this and that. People go there for only this and that. Like, subhanAllah, like, if you go there and that's what you're looking for, that's exactly what you're going to get out of it.
No, that's facts. And anybody who knows me knows I hate crowds. I hate being out too long and stuff like that. But with it was like I had to make sure that, you know, I could be around, you know, the brothers, and we could, you know, do our trivia and, you know, meet new people and stuff. But then also, you know, attend those lectures that really just reminded me of my purpose and reminded me of the reason why I came there, which is to, you know, remind myself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether I learned something new or I just got reminded, it was always beneficial. Because sometimes that reminder, even if I was thinking about it right before that talk, it's like hearing it from someone else, hearing someone else's delivery of that reminder really just changes your perspective, because then you go on to think about it in a different way.
SubhanAllah, it's similar. Like, you'll listen to a surah once, right? Second time you listen to that surah, somehow it's different. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, the same thing.
And then you switch reciters, and then it's also different.
Yeah, somehow, you know, it's different. And sometimes, like, somehow this verse is hitting, like, the same, like, that, not like the first time you heard it. And it's like, SubhanAllah. You're just getting reminded.
Look, and alhamdulillah, like, this is something, you know, I make dua to Allah that we all have the chance of experiencing, and we never let go of this. Every time we read and listen to the Quran, it always becomes more and more enjoyable. You just always want to do it. Because, you know, it's just the first time you read it, the second time is better, and the third time is better, and the fourth time is better, and the fifth time is better. Like, you know.
Like,
SubhanAllah. Sometimes, like, I be battling with myself with what I want to do. Whether I want to make adhkar or I want to listen to Quran. Because I'll be in the car and I'll be driving to the gym and I'm like, dang, bro, hold up. I want to make like istighfar or something. Right,
exactly.
Now. And then I'm like, okay, wait, I'll do X amount of istighfar and then I'll listen to Quran.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Man, we got the same thought process.
Yeah, because I'm just like, look, I want to get benefit on both sides. You know, the Quran is literally the remembrance of Allah. But it's like, you know, you know the blessing of, like, remembering Allah, whether it's in your heart or out loud, saying like la ilaha illallah or astaghfirullah or alhamdulillah, like, you know the benefits of these things, or even, you know, things that are super heavy on the scale, such as subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, and you want to mix it up with that, and then also, you know, with the remembrance through listening to the Quran, because, you know, the Quran
is full
of lessons for you. That's why it's like, and it reminds you of, you know, a situation in your life, right? Glorifying Allah, but then also glorifying Allah in a way that, you know, you reflect upon your life by listening to those verses and hearing these stories from these prophets, because Allah revealed them to you, but a little. Like, we don't even know exactly how many other stories there are out there, but Allah revealed these to you because these were sufficient for the time, for all times, for us to understand, okay, look, these are things that happen. This is what we're meant to believe in. This is how we stay away from certain things, and this will guide us for the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm. SubhanAllah.
I was listening to a lecture, and it was talking about, you know, what the essence of how the Quran is timeless, and that, you know, scholars will come and they'll see, like, new situations arise that were never seen before, but there's always evidence within the Quran and Sunnah and from previous teachings of, you know, these guided, like, successors all the way from the Prophet ﷺ to right now, where they can come up with a rational ruling whether like sometimes there may be a difference of opinion, but it depends on what they're following, who they're basing their opinions off of. But at the end of the day, it's very important to follow someone who you fully believe is upon the truth, and that, you know, their opinions make rational sense to you as a human being with your own like understanding and knowledge. But that doesn't mean blindly following someone. Be like, oh, I've seen so many people speak of this type of like this person, so I'm going to follow him. But then when they ask you, why do you follow him? You're not going to know why. Yeah, he studied here, here, and here, but like, what makes you want to follow him? Because the majority follow him. Like, we have to really come to an understanding upon ourselves about where we get our knowledge from, and how we're going to come to rational decisions that are better for us. Following, you know, some random minority scholar that no one's ever heard of, and you're just like, oh, this person said this, and nobody's ever heard of him. Nobody can substantiate like the claims that he's made or the evidence that he's brought forth. What's going to be better for you at the end of the day, right? Those are just some things I think about, because I've told people, like, bro, there's a fear of knowledge within the youth. And subhanAllah, something I noticed during our time at Masjid, you know, we're asking some people these, our Islamic trivia questions, you know, our card game. I fairly believe it's pretty simple. Obviously, you know, you're going to learn new facts, but it's nothing that, you know, is out of the ordinary. There's no fiqh or something like, or aqidah in these questions. Like, there's no, you know, fatwas in these types of questions. These are things that are clear. If you've ever read a hadith or from the Quran, you'll probably find these facts within there. And the amount of people that didn't know some of these things, and I was just like, look, you got to go learn these things. But, you know, they're waving us off, telling us it's okay. I was like, damn, bro. Like, knowledge should be something that we should all like be pushing ourselves to. And it wasn't until I looked at what I was learning in school and I was like, man, these people are just trying to teach me how to be an employee. Like, Allah's going to teach me how to be a Muslim. That's more important for me than what I want to like do with my career. My career is going to, you know, it's going to be elevated once I learn how to be a better Muslim. Once I learn, oh, this is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is how I can utilize my connection to Allah to propel my education.
I want to add on to this. Look, I want to let y'all know something right now. One, if you were to look to the Quran and you look to the Sunnah, and the Quran says that it teaches you, in Surah Isra, it teaches you, this Quran guides to that which is most upright. If you were to first, like, if you're young, if you're in your teenage years right now, I would, like, trying your best to learn, like, the good manners, try the etiquette of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, try your best to learn, like, you know, learn how to, like, smile towards people, do your best, speak softly, learn all these things. Why? Because it doesn't matter what career you take, it doesn't matter what you do, if you have these fundamentals down, you're gonna go so far. If you learn how to do the right things every single day consistently on a basis, and you learn that patience, you learn all this from the Quran and like in the Sunnah, you're gonna condition yourself. You're gonna condition yourself, and you're gonna take yourself so far, because it doesn't, like, career path, like, yeah, it, like, okay, whether you're a doctor, computer science, it doesn't matter. But really what it matters, it comes down to the type of person you are. And you'll ask any wealthy person, they're going to tell you, wealth comes from the connections that you make and the people that you know. If you're not a good, respectable, honorable, noble person, you're always lying, you're not telling the truth, you're always doing the wrong things, you can't wake up on time, you can't be here on time, you're never truthful, you're not going to go very far. And you're not going to make very good friends, and you're not going to meet very nice people. And so it doesn't matter what career path you take, but If you take these fundamentals and you become, you know, the best Muslim you can
apply them.
And you apply them, you become the best man you can be, best woman you can be, it's going to take you far. It doesn't matter what you do. You can be a manager at fast food.
It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we need people in all sorts of places. Especially Muslims. We need to increase Muslims in a whole bunch of different industries. Like, we really need to take over this. You know what I mean? Because the more Muslims we have, the better things will be overall.
I love what you say, because now it brings me to a point where I say, you know, your Islam, your knowledge, you know, your deen, your salat, all of this is more important than your school or your career or whatever, you know, you're chasing. If I were to ask you, oh, what are your ambitions? Okay, I'm going to study school to do computer science. I want to develop all these types of things. I want to be innovative. I want to do this. I want to do that. But then if I ask you, how are you going to utilize Islam within this? You know, how are you going to spread Islam throughout this, right? Allah gave you, you know, iman. He blessed you with that, you know, people around you might not be blessed with. So how are you going to utilize that, this knowledge, this guidance that Allah gave you to propel you in the field that you're in the life that you're about to live? Because that's going to be more important for you on the Day of Judgment. It's not going to be about whatever technological innovations or whatever you did within your career necessarily. If you did bad, obviously you're going to be asked about that. If you did good, but you did good for the sake of Allah, you know, you did something that can help you, help your Muslim community and propel you to, you know, find more remembrance of Allah, to find the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's going to help you more than, oh, hey, I won a Super Bowl because I was a professional football player. That's not necessarily going to help me on the Day of Judgment. And that is one of the reasons why I had to give up that side of my life, because I was like, this is not really going to help me. You know, I didn't know how, I didn't envision myself, you know, spreading Islam in the previous career paths that I was chasing. But then when Allah blessed me with this ability to love Islam and to be like, I want to tell people about this love that I have. You know, I want to show people that, look, you could be young, you could live your life, you could have fun with your brothers, you can surround yourself with good people, with people who are like-minded with you, and still love Islam and still prioritize your salah and still prioritize that connection to Allah and still seek knowledge, right? You can still live your life by being Muslim, because that is your life, right? And that is what I want to push people towards, is that your life should be Islam. Everything else should be on the back burner.
And I just want to give a reminder. Alhamdulillah, we talk on these podcasts. Everything is easier said than done. And we know, like, in this world, there's hard things. It's fitna. Like, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said there would come a time, like, we're holding on to religion, we like holding on like to a hot coal. We understand, like, there's hard things. And so, you know, don't take our minds as if, like, we're saying you got to do this right now. Like, early in the podcast, we said it's a process. And, you know, you got to, these are just things to keep in mind. If you're not at that point now, you're eventually going to reach a point where things got to start happening for you. And you got, like you got to pull this off, or it's said and done. Like, that's it. And if for people, like, see, whenever I read the Quran, it's like, I'm reading this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Day of Judgment, or he talks about hellfire, or he talks about Jannah, or he talks about these people felt my wrath, or we destroyed this nation, or things like that. And I'm like, this is as true as it gets. It doesn't get more true. Like, people nowadays, let me rephrase. When I read the Quran and I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about, you know, Jannah or hellfire or the Day of Judgment, this is as true as it gets. People would rather deal with an easy delusion than deal with a harsh reality or a harsh truth. The harsh truth is that you're going to have to answer for everything that you've done. You took a day off, that day still counts. You cheated this person just because this person wasn't significant, or maybe he wasn't as important as you, doesn't mean you still didn't cheat him. You're going to be asked about that. Every single thing counts, and you'd rather deal with the easy delusion, you'd rather deal with an excuse than deal with the reality. You lost. You did this. You did. And that's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, al-haqq, the reality. You're going to be informed about that which you used to do. And that's the reality. And that's, I always think about this all the time. It doesn't get more true than this. So you got to stop playing with your life. You know, you wasted 2024. It's time to, you know, try do something better with your life. Do something this time. You know, you wasted last Ramadan. This Ramadan, you're not going to waste it. You're not going to play no games.
Starting today.
Today.
I'm talking about you listening to this right now, you processing, that's the start of your change right there. Because the harder the situation, the more that you're rewarded, you know, and the harder the situation, the better it's going to shape you in the future. You know what I mean? So that being said, I'm good from now. No,
if you're a Muslim, then listen to this. Look, live for the akhirah as if you'll live forever. Because if you live with that mentality of the akhirah is constantly in your mind, you will never have a dull moment where you're forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you're not knowing what to do, because you'll become a person where, regardless of what job you have, or if you're in between jobs, you're not going to worry about where your paycheck comes from, because you know Allah is al-Razak. You're not going to be worried about where you are in the world, because you're going to know that Allah is your Lord. You're not going to be worried about what hardship you're going through, because you're going to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed ease upon you, because ease comes with hardship and hardship comes with ease, right? These are the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. And then you look at the character that you currently possess and you're like, okay, how am I emulating the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam right now, right? How are my actions going to be things that will, you know, be a means of benefit for me on the Day of Judgment, or a means of punishment, right? How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask me about these things? How will I answer for them, right? Without any excuse, you know, be real with yourself. Start being real with yourself. Start writing things down, right? Start journaling your emotions or your reflections, or however you plan to get closer to Allah, how your day brought you closer to Allah, right? You want to find success every single day, not just throughout your life. Your life will start with the every single day that you live, because you're going to be asked about every single thing that you ever did, subhanAllah. So that being said, that's going to close out this podcast. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hopefully you guys found some benefit. You know, you guys take some of these reminders, be able to spread them to your friends and your family, or on social media. If you guys are on social media, inshallah, you know, always make sure that we're upon the truth, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon the truth and keep us steadfast. And we're not scholars. We're students of knowledge. Yeah, I'm saying that this time. But salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.